Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Elizabeth and I am definitely an alcoholic.
Hey Elizabeth.
Hello. For those who care to join us, let us open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary movement around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances down to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity and harmony, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the books of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of the AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share the experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step four, part one, the searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Please welcome our panel this evening, Linda and Candida. I will now read the first paragraph on page 64, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Page 64. Next, we launch out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to the causes and conditions.
All right, go.
Okay,
I'm Linda, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Linda.
And I thought we were on step two today. I'm kidding, that's a joke.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
All right, fourth step. What to say about that? Our liquor was just a symptom. I think that's the big takeaway for me on this. Also, in reading the step this morning, I read vigorous, right? And vigorous doesn't mean we, you know, mildly, gently contemplated, you know, undertaking the step. Vigorously means we move with purpose, right? So it's saying that we move with purpose to understand what the reason why was that I drank or why we drank, right? And I just remember coming into the rooms and, I mean, when I say, like, the first week, it was pretty clear to me from what everybody was saying in the rooms, and I didn't know any of the language, I didn't know anything, right? I went to my first meeting, I picked up a chip, and I stayed. And, you know, I knew nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous. I just know at the end of my first week that, holy shit, you know. Whatever you do, you don't want to do this fourth step, right? I mean, that's kind of what the inside scoop was about this. And what I just say is that it is the step. It's the step that you have to take. Otherwise, we become members of the 1-2-3, you know, AA waltz, right? Which is, we do the first, second, third step, and if you don't do the fourth step, you'll pick up a fifth. And I saw that happen a lot, and so watching others do that waltz made me realize that it was really important for me to fearlessly engage this. I know that the first three steps, how much time should I talk before? Does it matter? Okay, so I knew this, that the first three steps, at least for me, was, you know, they say, you know, I can't, he can, you know, that whole thing, right? Well, let me just say this. All I know with the first step was my life had gone to hell, right? Just to hell. Understanding that I thought that the rooms of AA could help me, deciding that I would let it help me, and then realizing that the mirror needed to be placed and turned on me so that I can understand why I'm drinking the way that I'm drinking. And when I was asked by Candida, actually asked me, she's like, let's do this together. And I said, this is a great idea. The only thing is that the fourth step really kind of pisses me off, because it's the step that everybody wants to avoid. And it's like, come on, guys, don't be a pussy about it. Let's get it done. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we're really sick. We need to get better. And this is the only way we're going to get better. And it's not as scary as everybody says it is. I don't know why they make it out to be that way. It's really not scary. And it's actually very freeing. So I'll just say that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida.
Thank you.
Hi, Candida.
Very nervous. I'm grateful to be here tonight. My sobriety date is November 23rd of 2000, and Simple Actions is my home group. And I'm very grateful to this home group. You know, when I came into the program, I was 24 years old. I came from an alcoholic family. They say in step two, like, we get restored to sanity. As my sponsor put it, you have no sanity to restore to. Like, I never knew what a sane thing was. I grew up in alcoholism. It was insane. Closer, sorry. You know, so I was young, really crazy, and like Linda said, you know, I came into this room, and if you're not familiar with 12-step programs, it's kind of confusing. So I was like, who's the leader? Who's in charge? You know? And thankfully for me, I found a sponsor who, when she spoke, she just touched my heart. And she was from Oklahoma, and she was just passing through Miami, and she was a big book thumper, and she was tough. She was a rough lady, but I needed that. And, you know, the first time I met with her, we did step two, and she asked me, you know, some step two questions. And the next time I met with her, she had me working on this fourth step. She showed me how to write it down, and I like what it says there. Next, we launch into a course of rigorous action. It doesn't say we wait a year, or we do a step a year, which I hear people say. I think that's crazy. And, you know, it says we get right into action. And, you know, step three in the beginning, I probably didn't understand it. You know, step three, I don't know if I still understand it. But, you know, I heard these speakers, I used to listen to these tapes. I think it's Joe and Charlie. And they used to say that, you know, a decision doesn't mean anything if you don't follow it through with action. So I can decide today that I'm gonna like go to Spain this summer, but if I don't save my money, I don't book a ticket, I don't board the plane, nothing happens. So if I take the third step, the action to prove that I really mean this is to take the remainder of the steps. And I too, like Linda heard in the beginning, you know, if you don't do a fourth, you'll drink a fifth. And I was really scared, I didn't wanna drink. So I did whatever you guys said. And you know, I guess I'll hold off because that's just one paragraph, but I'm really grateful that I get to speak with Linda. This year I moved to Virginia Beach, and she's been in the meetings I've been attending, and I love hearing her share. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
We still continue on page 64. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From its stem, all forms of spiritual disease, but we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we strain out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We list the people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which have been interfered with?
I'm still Linda, and I'm still an alcoholic. This is, you know, when I came into the rooms and I did my first fourth step, I had a sponsor who was a big book thumper, and within 2 or 3 weeks, I was working on my fourth step because. I was in a tremendous amount of emotional pain over all the stuff that I was doing. And, you know, it kind of feels like you just kind of lug around a lot of crap when you first come into the rooms, you know, invisible luggage, right? You know, it's tethered around your ankle everywhere you go. You're feeling less than, you feel like a piece of dog do. And a lot of shame, just a tremendous amount of shame I had coming into the rooms. And so I immediately was asked to start writing this stuff down, and I'm a double winner too, which means I'm also a member of Al-Anon, because I'm a really good codependent. And you know, I don't know if it's an Al-Anon thing or if it's an AA thing, but I stuff my feelings, right? So when I had to write down resentments, like, that was kind of a whole new world for me. I always pushed my feelings away. And so what happened was, when I just started writing a couple down, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. All of a sudden, like this tidal wave of resentments came up. It was pretty amazing. It was intense, and it was cathartic, you know, writing it down, not even knowing why I'm really writing it down. But she says, write everything that you're pissed about, and you know, it can be a people, place, a thing, you know, whatever, just write it all down. Now, the caveat here too is, I think, that it's progress, not perfection. We don't need to be perfect in getting this stuff done, but we need to be purposeful in getting this stuff done, doing our best attempt, right? I mean, there have been times after doing my first four step that there's been stuff that's bubbled up that I'm like, ooh. Well, that's all the kind of stuff you can talk to your sponsor afterwards. And after you do your fifth step, you'll recognize, I know I'm way ahead now, you'll recognize that there's a pattern in all these other little events that bubble up and these resentments that bubble up. So it's not as, I don't want to say important, it's just that it will fall into the same kind of fabric and the tapestry of your modus operandi. What were the things that were always tripping you up? Anyway, getting back to the resentments, yes, I had a lot of them. It was good that I just had to place them on paper at first, because if I had to, at that point in time, own my part in that or understand what it was that it was pointing to about myself or the character defects that it was enhancing or my response to it was, I probably would have stopped. All she told me to do was basically write a laundry list. And that felt really good, writing the laundry list. But then, you know, after that, it felt good also starting to identify what the deeper issues were that were continuing to trip me up. I do know this, though, that before coming to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I could identify people who are really angry and resentful, right? Even as an active alcoholic, I'm like, oh man, they're a bitch, right? They're really pissy. They're, you know, there's a real problem here. I could identify that. I had no idea I was one of them. I was completely blind to that fact, right? That all that stuff had completely jaded me. And you know, they say that resentment is kills you and your soul, right? It is the thing that damages you. They don't know you're that pissed at them, you know. As a matter of fact, they come up to you in the party and are like, hi, it's good to see you. And you want to kill them. I mean, you don't realize that it is the soul, it's killing your soul. The gift here is that, the steps trick us into understanding that we have to understand why, what those resentments are about, and why it's important we let them go, because the idea here is to live, and I can't live if I'm carrying around all that garbage.
Mm-hmm. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida.
Hi, Candida.
And, I remember coming into the program out here, people say resentments are like me drinking poison and expecting you to die.
Yes.
You know, I drank over like that bitch, and I was killing myself. So, I didn't really understand what resentments were. And I remember one morning I woke up and I was having all these thoughts in my head, like, about this person, and I was like, I was sober now, like I could hear my thoughts, and I was like so ashamed of the things I was feeling, and I was like, let me tell my sponsor, and I told my sponsor I'm thinking these things, and he's like, that's making you real sick. And when he said that, it like hit me, like that's a resentment, like it's making me sick, and I don't want to harbor that stuff, and so I need to catch it, now I need to catch it, like don't let those things fester. And those same two speakers, Chuck and Charlie, they say, resentment, the root of the word resentment is to re-feel something. I keep on re-feeling these things, re-experiencing these things, those tapes that I keep on playing in my head, like those are my resentments. And my sponsor, she said, I want you to be very thorough. Don't leave any rock unturned, to the best of your ability, you put everything in your mind. Like, don't leave out anything. Maybe it's true, like Linda says, as you go on in the years, you realize there was a lot of stuff. Like, I didn't have a lot of awareness in the beginning. I don't know if I have a lot of awareness now, but, you learn as you go along. But I didn't leave any rock unturned. And I heard somebody say, like, doing your first four step is like kind of clearing out a river. You take these big rocks out first, and then after you're done and you can see, then there's these, like, little rocks that you have to pick up. So she said, just write down the people that you have a resentment against. And so I did that. And then when I thought I was done, she's like, I want you to do a timeline of your life and look at from 0 to 5, 5 to 10. And doing that timeline was so important for me because there were things I would have missed if I hadn't gone back and looked more carefully. That teacher. Oh, yeah, that experience in high school. And, in those tapes that I used to listen to, Joe and Charlie, they used to say, the good thing about doing a four step is that at first, you write down, I'm mad at this person. And then when you write the cause, it's like, no, it's what they did. And then when you go a little further, it's like, oh, it's because it affected this part of me. So it kind of like takes the person off the hook. And of course, when we get to the fourth column, it takes the person even more off the hook. But to get that detachment from that person, it's not the person, it's not what they did, it's how it affected me. And what else was I going to say? Oh, and the other thing is, it doesn't talk about it in the big book, but in the 12 and 12, it says there's two type of personalities. Like there's the one, the person who tries to do an inventory and they think there's nothing wrong with themselves, that their only problem was that they were drinking, and it's hard to get those people to see like where they were wrong or if they have any issues. And then there's like the morbid, reflective, depressive type. That was me. And I like in the big book that it says, this is a fact-finding, fact-facing process. It's very simple. Like, I don't have to, like, sauce this thing up or make a story about it. I just have to list resentment, cause. It's like, it's simple. It's like a bullet list. I don't have to get attached to it. And I don't have to, like, take the bat out and start beating myself up, And that's what I did. And I remember a few suggestions my sponsor gave me. She's like, don't work on this step before you go to bed at night. Try to work on it before you're going to get into a meeting. So in the parking lot, just write it, and then you can go in a meeting. She gave me little tools, like pray before you work on it, stuff like that. And I remember, I'm an all-or-nothing type person. So, I'd be really lazy about doing it, and then I would, like, go gung-ho. And, like, one night I was working on it 3 hours, and that was a mistake, I got really into my head. Recently I've had a few sponsees that have dropped out because they don't want to do this step, and it's like, it really is not a big deal. And, I'll share an experience. I was, I got the assignment to do this four step, and my sponsor called me one night, and she's like, hey, how are things going? And I'm like, good. She's like, are you working on that four step? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, so did you work on it today? And I'm like, no. And she goes, Candida, you're full of shit. And I'm like, what? She goes, you don't want this thing. And I'm like, what? I'm trying. And she's like, do me a favor, try to pick up this cup of coffee. And I picked it up, and she's like, try to put it down. And I put it down, and she goes, are you trying? And I'm like, no. She's like, you're doing it, right? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, okay, I don't want to hear that word try. Whenever you say try, you're lying. She's like, in life, you either do something or you don't do it. So if you're not doing it, it's because you don't want to do it. So why don't you get honest and ask your higher power to give you some willingness? And I was so upset, I hung up the phone on her. And and that night when I was going to sleep, I started thinking about her words, about like how I really didn't want this thing and I was full of shit. And I was like, you know what? She's right. Like, I'm afraid. Like, I think what it was, I had to get clear with my fear. Like, I knew that by doing this step, I was going to change. And I didn't know how that was going to look. And that scared me. So it was like a fear of the unknown. But once I got in touch with that fear, I was able to blast through it and finish it. And I've heard before, you know, AA is not for people who need it. It's not for people who want it. It's for people who do it, you know? So I can sit around and say, like, oh, I want to work this step, but I don't do anything. You know, the proof is in the pudding. If I'm taking action, you know, I want it. So that was really good of her to, like, you know, to help me to see that, you know, I lie to myself a lot. I do. And that's it. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. We continue on page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived.
Candida, I really liked what you shared, and I was thinking about what my sponsor did and how I got the fourth step done. And her advice to me was to start it and do it every day until you finished it. She said you didn't have to write for 6 hours. She says, but every day, pick it up and do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I found a really good hiding place in my house for the spiral notebook of deep dark Linda shame, right? And so I would write every day, and then I had a great spot where I made sure my husband didn't see it, you know, and because I was petrified that if you saw who I really was, you know, that you wouldn't love me anymore, and that I just wasn't good enough. Don't, I'm gonna cry if you're not careful. But I picked it up and I did it right away. I mean, I was scared. I didn't like the stuff that I saw written down. But thoroughness is absolutely imperative. Doesn't mean that I have to be perfect at it, right? Intentionally admitting is what they're trying to get at here, right? There's a big, like, you know, boo-boo that you've done and you intentionally omit it. That's a problem. But if you're as thorough as you possibly can, if you've racked your brain, if you've, at least my sponsor said, if you pick it up every day, you write something every day, and then you're done, and you wait a couple days and nothing seems to pop up, then you're done and we will sit down and talk about it. And that's how it went for me. And as far as I wanted to say something else. As far as being thorough goes, you know, it is a fact-finding mission. That's an excellent way, and that's what I always tell my sponsees. I said, listen, I have taken enough fifth steps to know that we're not saints, right? I mean, I know it. I've heard a lot of good stuff, right? I'm a member of the Good Stuff Club, right? I mean, there's stuff that, you know, a very sick person did. It's not who I am today, but I did things that I'm not really proud of. And they've got a ton of that too, right? And I gotta remember that, or they have to remember that stuff is gonna tell us something about who you are as a person. it's going to give the key to your future, because it's going to tell you what the secret, the landmines are in your life that you continue to trigger, and it keeps continuing to blow up. So I don't care about the things. I care about the reason why you did it. And that's why we're here. We're here to figure out the why, not the what that you did. And I hear a lot of people tell me a lot of times in meetings, victims never recover, right? I don't know about you guys, but for me, doing the fourth step was the first step out of victimhood for me. Because, I thought the world had done me dirty. And, look at all these things that these terrible people have done to me. And I was only trying to get my fair share when I screwed you over, or I did whatever I did, right? Because, it just wasn't fair, and I deserved better, right? And that was a real, motivator for me. And so the fourth step for me is my first step, at least for me it was, my first step out of victimhood. It was my first step for me to recognize that, well, maybe I just wasn't quite a victim here, that there was other things at play, Linda, that make you responsible for how this played out or how things went down. And what a freeing feeling to suddenly recognize that I'm not a victim and that I actually have agency, that I can actually change. I can take action in my life to heal instead of just thinking that y'all just shit on me all the time, right? And I just have to take that, and then I just have an excuse to drink. So fourth step, people tell me all the time that victims never recover, and I think that the fourth step for me, it felt like the first step towards not being a victim anymore. So
thank you. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida.
Hi.
And when that paragraph was just read, I was like, I don't know what to share on that. And then hearing Linda, I was like, whoa, victim, I can relate to that. I was told, when I do a four-step, I bring, a little, a lighter to it. I have a little bit of light, and then my sponsor brings, a flashlight, and then God brings the floodlight. So while I was writing this thing, I didn't have a lot of awareness. But looking back, after doing the step, I think the thing that scares me the most about my active alcoholism is that I did so many things and I never questioned myself. It was like a fog. And I'm sure if I would have kept on drinking, I would have lowered the bar and lowered the bar and never questioned my behavior. And doing that first four step, it was like, I did that. I never questioned it. It's like this murky brain that I had. I remember when I did my first four step, my sponsor said, don't forget to include yourself in there and include God. And, truthfully, the more four steps I've done, it hurt. It's like, it's easy to be mad at you, but when mad at myself, because I keep on doing the same dumb thing over and over again, that bothers me, with finances and romances, just the same stuff. And, before I came here, I grew up in a very, alcoholic home, lots of violence, lots of abuse. So I was they hurt me. So, I'm a victim. And, I just went out in the world entitled, I thought everyone owed me something. I remember writing my fourth step thinking, oh, my sponsor's going to know now, all the stuff I went through. I was very sick. And I read two lines to her, and she stopped me. She's like, wait, those are your parents? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you read two lines to me, and I already know they're crazy. And you went back to them how many years for support? And at first, I thought that was really mean of her, but through the years, I look at it and it's true. I was the one who kept on going back, expecting a different result. And when I got into this program, I realized these people are who they are. They don't have the tools, and yeah, things were messed up. But it's my turn now to get better. And that's one thing I could say that AA has given me. I had to let go of that. I'm not the victim. Yeah, things were messed up, but it's my responsibility now. And you know what? I got here when I was 24 years old, and by the age of 26, I was in the best job. God had leveled the playing field for me by working 12 simple steps, I didn't deserve to be where I was put from where I came from. So I have no excuses, I have no excuses. And, yes, of course there's scars that are going to affect my life from that kind of childhood, but I don't blame anymore. And doing that fourth step was a real big start of that, stop blaming. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. We continue on page 66. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infidelity grave. We found that this is fatal. But when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, we drink again, and with us to drink is to die. Mm-hmm.
When I hear that, you know, I think we've spoken a lot about the fourth step, but going back, they say to drink is to die, and I have a couple people that I sponsor right now that, you know, I can't even really say I'm sponsoring them because, you know, they've all stalled on the third step, right? They're all sitting there, and it's upsetting to me because I know what's going to happen next. I mean, I'm not God, of course, and my hope and my prayer is that they will, you know, I know I'm totally switching here. There's a guy that I listen to. His name is Earl Hightower, and he really just talks about the fact that if this was all just about drinking, then I mean I don't know about you guys, but I would be drunk again if it was just, you know, if it was just putting down the drink, right? And you know, like it was just life without a drink, right? Because life is really hard, and bad things have happened to me, and I've done bad things to other people, and if I don't change, and if I don't understand who I am and my role that I've played in this world, I am going to drink again. I just am. I'm, you know, because life isn't really going to get better. I think 1, 2, and 3, we get like a temporary reprieve, right? Because the fact of the matter is, we all come into these rooms, and I've heard people say this, like the house is on fire, right? I mean, we don't come in here because everything's great. We come in here because the house is burning down. And we have messed things up pretty darn good. And we take a couple simple directions from people, come to some meetings, get a sponsor, right? And we start praying to higher power, and we recognize AAs. You know, you're starting to feel a little more comfortable. You feel a little more sane. But that's just the beginning. And if we don't take that fearless, rigorous a walk into the fourth step to understand who we are, well, we're just going to kind of stay at that buzz is going to go away, as Earl Hightower says, and what we're going to be left with is just ourselves looking in the mirror without alcohol. And you know, that's kind of craziness. That's craziness. And you will drink again. You will. I mean, I know I would drink again. And if life hadn't gotten a hell of a lot better because I worked these steps, I would drink again. I really would. But I can tell you that after working these steps, life got so much infinitely better that the idea of drinking, even if there was a pill that would allow me to drink safely, I wouldn't take it. Because these steps have provided a gateway into a life that I never imagined I could have, right? So when we talk about the fourth step and about that sunlight of the spirit, we get a little glimpse of that sunlight, I think, in steps 1 through 3 if we're starting to work the program. But holy crap, you need Ray-Bans after the 4, 5, and 6. I mean, you really are going to rock it. You rock it into a fourth dimension when you get that stuff done. And so, you know, we don't, at least I don't, like discomfort of any sort, right? And yes, the fourth step is a little uncomfortable, right? It's a little uncomfortable. It feels really pregnant, like something's brewing and it's going to happen, right? I mean, sorry. I don't mean it that way. I mean, it just like there's this real, like there's this elephant in the room, right? And we all know that the elephant's got to leave. We all know the elephant's got to leave. How to get it to go, though, is the work that we have to do to be rid of it. And And that sunlight of the Spirit, I didn't mean to say the pregnant thing, I don't even know. But the sunlight of the Spirit is really the purpose of this fourth step. That my sponsor once explained it to me this way. She said, okay, Linda, you've been living in a house, okay? It's a different house. It's not the one that's burned down that I was just talking about. Different house, right? You've had all the windows shut, right? You're a hoarder. You've been hoarding all this crap for a long, long time, right? Your resentments, your fears, right? Harm done to others. I mean, your sex conduct, everything. Like, it's all in this house. You're a hoarder, and there is shit everywhere, right? And the windows are down and the shades are down. So the point of the fourth step, Linda, is to lift the blinds, open the windows, and clean out the house, right? And you got to clean the house out, right? I mean, we got to go behind the refrigerator. We gotta go into the oven. You gotta go to places that you don't really wanna see. But that's what you need to do, because afterwards, you gotta clean house. And that is the best feeling. And then my sponsor says, and then you think about how you wanna decorate that house, Linda. Because at that point in time, with this program, the world's my oyster. I can decorate it any way I want to, because it's clean, it's a fresh start. And I have a program that can help me build to wherever I want to be. I'm sorry, but
you're good.
Anyway, so that's so anyway, the point is that at the end of the fourth step, the way that I always envisioned it was that I had in the great room of this house, right? Because I've got a big room in the house. There's a load of shit in the house now. It's all been brought down. It's been collated. It's been put into boxes, and this is going to go to the dumpster, this, that, the other thing. And then in the fifth step is when I bring in my sponsor, and I start picking up those pieces, and we say, what does this mean, and how did it play a role in my life? And when I understand, it goes in the dumpster. But, you know, the fourth step is that big old pile of junk that I have to make sure I'm pulling in and bringing to a place that I can make sense of what happened. And that sunlight of the Spirit, the windows are open, the breeze is coming in, and it's really, it's a gift.
Yeah. Resentments are the number one offender. They kill more alcoholics than anything else. And, you know, when I think about that, when I was out there drinking, like, I was riddled with resentments. I didn't know that's what they were called. But I mean, it got to a point with my drinking that I had to just drink to quiet that stuff. You know, it was just everything, just so much hatred. Like, you looked at me and I was and, you know, working that fourth step, you know, after doing that fifth step, those resentments were gone. Most of them were gone. And, you know, there was a few that remained, and I had to do more work, especially, like, around my mother and stuff. But, you know, I feel like we work these steps, and then these steps work us. You know, it's been a long journey in this program, and today I live a good life. I mean, of course, I get little, you know, things happen. You know, I get upset, I'll break up of a relationship, I go through a down. But, you know, I have tools. Like, I can get through these things. And, you know, I'm not walking around like that person anymore. You know, I did these things, and then I changed, you know, and I don't want to, like, have a resentment today. Like, I don't want that stuff in my brain. Like, and it happens. And if I want to sit with it and be blocked out from the sunlight of the Spirit, I can do that. But there's a risk. I can drink. And for us to drink is to die. And, you know, I believe that. So, you know, I want to be in the sunlight of the Spirit. I've experienced that. And, you know, I want to be in that more than I want to be in my head or into the resentments. That's it. Thank you.
We continue on page 66. We turn back to the list where I held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We begin to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry, thy will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one.
What do you want to say about that?
Okay, sure. I think, you know, in the beginning, that definitely was not my favorite part of the fourth step, but it is today. You know, like, that's where I get my freedom, looking at my part. And when I came into this program, I had a sponsor that looked at me and he said, you know, Candida, if they're the problem, you're screwed. but if you're the problem, there's hope, because you can change yourself, you can't change other people. And, you know, I'm leaving Virginia Saturday, and, you know, knowing that I'm leaving, it's kind of helped me, like, go through this, like, some inventories in my head, like, is there anybody that I may know what I'm meant to, or, and there's just one person that comes up, and I'm like, but she did this, you know, and I know I have a part in it, I do, but, you know, she did this, and to, like, get away from that is so hard, you know, it requires such vigilance, but if I can, like, look at a situation and say, okay, yeah, they may have done this, but I was selfish here, I was dishonest. You know, if I can look at my part, then I can get some freedom. And also I can let that other person off the hook. Like, they're not perfect, I'm not perfect. And, you know, when I've done fourth and fifth steps, I haven't gotten a lot of awarenesses. I'll get, like, one glaring awareness. And I remember one time I was doing another fourth step, and, you know, I thought I saw what my part was in things, and I sat down with my sponsor and we started doing the fifth step, and it was so blatant at the end of it. It was like, I am so dishonest. And, like, what he helped me see is, like, I'll hang out with you and I'll be like, oh yeah, I want to go to the movies, and I hate that movie, but I go anyways, and then I start getting mad at you, you know? But I'm not being honest. I'm not telling you how I really feel or what I really think about these things, and I'm just going along and I'm getting angry. But who started that? You know, like, I could maybe have a little more courage and be like, I don't like these things. And, you know, like, relationships that upset me, like, oh, I can't believe she did that to me, but wasn't I self-seeking, like, trying to get validation from this person, try to fill some hole, you know? Like, I set the ball rolling. Like, I have a part in most things. And in the 12 and 12, in the 10th step, it says, you know, no matter what the disturbance is, like, I always, I don't know, I can't remember, how does it say, no matter what the disturbance is? Something wrong, yes, with me, you know? And it's true. Like, if I'm really honest and I dig really deep, like, I have a part in things. And when I can get to that place where I can really look at my part, you know, that's where I can find freedom. I can let other people off the hook. So it's weird that I would say this today, like, that's my favorite part of this step. I think that's the alchemy of this step, you know, is to look at my part. You know, like, that other stuff doesn't even matter. It matters, like, what I did, you know, how I get the ball rolling, how I set myself up, and I do it over and over and over again. And, you know, I wish I could have that go out through my day and be more vigilant about it, but it's hard. My first reaction is to blame you, always. And my first reaction, and it takes a lot of work, you know, and a lot of eating humble pie to be like, okay, yeah, I was wrong too. And that's all, thank you.
I just wanna, I agree. When you said that it's the favorite part of the step for you, that is mine as well. Because it's the gateway to my freedom, and in doing that, in doing the step and understanding what your part is, I mean, God, I hate it when your sponsor, like, figures out the pattern, right? And then she says, well, here's your pattern, Linda. You do this and this and this, and then we go to the next pattern, and it continued here, Linda, and it continued here, and then you got to be like, yeah, it did. But knowing that is the freedom, right? I mean, knowing that, because then I can take action on it, even though you feel really like, God, you know, bummed that you're not perfect, because I do want to be perfect. I'm just letting you know. So that was good.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are on our last reading on page 67. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others have done, we resolutely look for our own mistakes. Where have we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though situation has not been entirely our fault, we try to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listened to them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we were willing to set these matters straight.
You know, I seem to be really good at finding the fault in others. that is still a knack of mine. I'm getting better at seeing where the fault is. I'm at fault in situations, and that's my journey of being human and being in recovery. It's hard to see it sometimes, but it's necessary. And it's worth it, though. It's worth it. Avoiding this step and thinking that everybody else is at fault, again, makes you the victim. And I don't want to be a victim anymore. That's all.
I don't know, reading that, it sounds really easy. Where it talked about that prayer, about praying for the sick man, like sometimes that's really easy. Sometimes, like, I don't care if they're sick. I'm mad. it's sometimes, it's not easy. But, I don't want to, like that, like it says, like, resentments are the number one offender. Like, it blocks me off from the sunlight of the Spirit. Like, how important is this, really? Do I want to be blocked off from the sunlight of the Spirit? So, as much as I can, in some cases it's easy to see, like, oh, he's a sick man, pray for that person. But then when it's something else, it's a little harder. But I just have to work at it. And, that prayer, what it talks about, like, praying for, that's a prayer, like, I wouldn't treat a sick man that way. How can I be helpful? Praying for other people is really powerful. I remember when I finished my first four step, I was so resentful at my mother. Like, 3 years into sobriety, I still hated her. And, my sponsor would say, just pray for her. And in the big book, there's a story called Freedom from Bondage. And this woman had the same experience like I did. She did her four step and all these resentments were taken away, but she still had this one resentment against her mother. And she was kind of praying and asking God, because she knew that having resentments was a dangerous thing. And she saw a magazine on her table, and on the front of it, it says, if you pray for them, you will be healed or something. And so the magazine said, like, if you pray for this person that you have a resentment against, pray for them for 2 weeks, that this resentment will be taken away. Even if you don't mean it, just say it. And, I did that, and things, that prayer always works. So when I get it, I know, okay, I have an assignment. I have to pray for these people for 2 weeks. And it works. It does. And that's it. Thanks for letting me share, and thank you for letting me share tonight with you.
That concludes our speaking part of me. Let's thank our speakers one more time. We now pass the seventh tradition basket, which states that every age group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements?
My name is Ralph, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Ralph.
The New Day group will be open Christmas Day and New Year's Day from 5:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. There'll be a meeting every hour and a half. Bring a dish if you wish, but there should be plenty of food there all day long. So come and join us at the fellowship.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Leah, and I'm at the book.
Hi, Leah.
AA 101, where we have our annual anniversary breakfast, January 6th, food at 10, speaker at 11. Our speaker this year will be Kay. So please join us, Norfolk Sincero.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks.
David.
Hi, David.
This group, Simple Actions Group, is going to meet next Monday on Christmas Eve. It's going to meet the Monday after that on New Year's Eve, just not here. We're going to meet around the corner at the house on Colonial and Raleigh where Cornerstone meets. So next Monday we'll be over there and the Monday after that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Are there any more AA-related announcements? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Newcomers, is there anyone in the first 30 days of sobriety? If not to embarrass you, but we just want to welcome you.
Jordan, I'm not
involved. Welcome.
Any more friends?
No?
Okay. Literature is available over there. Please pardon my point, ladies. please see me or any home group member after the meeting. Sponsorship. Sponsorship is an A's. It's yours with asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminders. Smokers, please use the bud can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And in closing, let's thank Linda and Katie for your time. And thank you to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the stuff discussed tonight at the meeting, after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol up the street. They have great fish tacos, and I have a volunteer to lead the last two paragraphs of page 164.
Aaliyah. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us
trust
the
road of
happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until
then.
Thanks.
And now we're closing. I love that dredging. Love that.
Would you like to take us out?
Who loves us?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power of the Lord.